Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, yeah. Camp is almost here. The rookies will be here, what, next week-ish? Somewhere in there. And, you know, we're like, what is it, 23rd, we get moving. So we're like 12 days away from the first real practice for the Browns to get moving and shaking. But the AFC North is also moving and shaking. And a super friend of the show, Nick Shook. He writes for NFL.com. He's a local guy. We love him. We've known him since way back when. And right now he's got his camp preview all set up on NFL.com. Right now, the AFC North is what he's looking at. We're going to talk to him about it right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Nick, what's up, my friend? How are you?
Super friend. I love that. The only thing I wonder is, like, am I wearing a cape now? Do I have, a powerful ring? Like, how are we doing this?
It's with Superman coming out today, we'll let you into the Justice League. You're allowed into the hall. You're good to go. How's that sound?
All right. We'll shoot it in Cleveland, too. We'll just make it a twofer.
But you know what is kind of weird? I'm going to bring this up. Have you ever been down to Cincinnati? I'm trying to remember. They had they held an Emmys down there. They have an art museum. I don't know if it's the art museum or it's some kind of public auditorium. That building looks just like the Justice League did when I was a kid watching the cartoons. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's where they shot. That's where they made the Hall of Justice, I think, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, right? Am I crazy? Yeah. Oh, so I'm not. No,
that is where they did it, yeah.
It is very neat. And now we've got the Daily Planet here. So we're all set. We're all set for a big Superman weekend in Northeast Ohio. Nick, tell me about the AFC North, because it doesn't feel real good for the Browns when I look, especially at the quarterbacks on the other three teams. They've got their work cut out for them.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, in compiling this preview, I knew what I was going to be getting into just because of how the offseason has unfolded in the Browns, you know, situation at quarterback. Basically, when you look at the division, it's the Ravens are expected to win it. The Bengals are expected to contend for it. Nobody knows what the Steelers are going to be, and everybody expects the Browns to finish in last place, which is obviously not the news you want to hear in early to mid-July, but it is the reality that the Browns face right now, which sets up for one of two things. Either they meet those low expectations or they surprise a lot of people and contend, and we'll see how it unfolds.
Nick, I think you made a really interesting point in your preview. When you look back 2 years ago, when the Browns made the playoffs, they had a lot of different quarterbacks. Nobody stood out until Joe Flacco came in and had some really good games. And you had an offense that was okay and a defense that was stellar. And this year, the defense, I think, needs to be stellar again. And you point out they're starting a couple of key rookies, the guys they drafted 1 and 2 overall, you know, Graham and Schlesinger. What do you think this unit's going to be like? And do you think those two guys are ready to not only play, but really contribute at a high level?
Yeah, I think that a lot of fans were not happy with the decision to trade out of 2 and take Mason Graham at 5. And I think that 3 to 5 years from now, they'll look back and realize that they were wrong. They might not admit it, but they'll realize that they were wrong, because I think Graham's going to play and he's going to make a difference. He has his get off and his hand ability and his power is pretty rare. And it's going to show on the field when he ends up in that rotation, which I think that they desperately needed, considering they never really invested in that position. But the big question mark is, can Schlesinger, you know, is he the type of guy that can effectively replace JOK? And, you know, when they made that draft pick, I think it was Glenn Cook who came out afterward and said it didn't have anything to do with JOK. Well, we all knew that it did. I mean, that was the best remaining linebacker. He's a rangy guy. It absolutely had to be. because of JOK, and now we know that it was. And so that's the big question mark, is can he step in and make a difference? Because this is a guy who was a walk-on, ended up being an All-American. That's a big leap at the collegiate level, but it's an even bigger leap to get to the NFL and make a difference. So if he can play well, I think that they'll be, you know, a lot better at the front seven. I think they'll already be better on the front four. It was a, you know, a huge win to retain Myles Garrett, even though you had to break the bank to do it. But I do trust Jim Schwartz and what he's able to do with that scheme. It's going to have to be their strength, because unlike 2 years ago, I think this offense lacks firepower. I don't think it has nearly as much, at least at receiver. You know, we have a lot of unknown with the rebuilt backfield, but I'm glad that they addressed that too. So there's just so many question marks on the offensive side. It's going to have to be the defense that makes these into low scoring games to give them the best chance to win.
Nick, do you think that we looked at the roster last year and there were virtually no changes among the starting 22. This year, you take a look at this starting lineup, and if you decide to go with a two tight end set, you could end up with four rookies on the field if Judkins or Sampson starting on offense, like two straight rookies on offense that could start in a two tight end set, depending on if they don't want to start forward at running back. And then you just talked about Graham and Schlesinger on the defensive side. Can you talk about, is that a philosophical change, or is that obviously a change by necessity?
I think it's by necessity, and it's something that most teams do go through from time to time, because in the salary cap era, the way it's designed for you to be unable to retain the majority of your roster. You have to pick and choose who you're going to keep and who you're going to unfortunately let go. The masters of it have really been the Ravens. The 49ers have kind of dipped their toes into the water in recent years at doing this and remaining competitive. And the Browns now have been forced to do that. And, you know, the timing was good because they couldn't do it in previous years because they didn't have first round picks, which is why they had to do it this year and rely on a lot of those guys. I thought they approached it well. You know, I don't like giving immediate draft grades because I think it's a pointless exercise because we don't know who these players are going to be in the long term. But if I did, you know, have to give them a grade, I would give them, you know, positive marks. It'd be well above passing marks because they approached it with intent in order to address these weaknesses. And if you look at the roster and you consider the amount of rookies that could be on the field at the same time, that might make you a little nervous, a little uneasy. But at the same time, it should also encourage you because you've got new blood in there and you've got some talented football players in that group. Harold Fannin was a phenomenal tight end at Bowling Green. Quinshon Judkins, every Ohio State fan in the world knows what he brought to that team last year. And Dylan Sampson was a hell of a running back at Tennessee too, that kind of flew under the radar to the point that I was surprised he was still available when the Browns drafted him. If all of those picks hit, you'll be fine. If half of those picks hit, you'll still be in a better place than you were if you were trying to plug gaps with free agents that you were going to have to overpay. So it's not the worst thing in the world, and it keeps you, you know, financially viable going forward, especially while you still have all that money tied up with Deshaun Watson. It's just an unknown as we go into the season. But it gives me reason to want to watch the Browns this year. How is Harold Fannin going to fit in those two tight end sets? That's the root of Kevin Stefanski's offensive background. They did it a ton in Minnesota with the wide zone scheme, and they got away from it in recent years because they could never find the complement that really fit with David Njoku. I think they got one now in Fannin, and I think it could be pretty productive as long as the quarterback can get the football to him. That's the big question.
Nick Shook joining us from NFL.com. Nick, Kent Stater, local guy. His preview of the AFC North posted up on NFL.com yesterday, and go read it. It's very insightful. You think, Nick, well, I think Andy thinks, I think most Browns fans think, that Quinshon Judkins, drafted in the second round, is going to come in here and, okay, fine, you've got a starting running back and he's going to be really good. Are we allowed to think that way, or are we just being optimistic?
And maybe a little bit biased because he's a Buckeye. No, I think that there's plenty of reason to think that he's going to be a good player. You know, it's interesting because the way that the draft unfolded, you saw Judkins. In fact, I don't know if I told you guys this, but, you know, I tend to get picks a little bit early during the draft because they never are quite made at the same time as what you see on TV.
So, cheater.
That was the first pick. The first pick of day two was owned by the Browns. Usually within the hour of the start of the second round, you get tipped off as to who's going to be that guy because they've had, you know, 18 hours to make that decision.
Yeah.
I was told that Travion Henderson was going to be the guy the Browns took. I had it written, prepared to go.
Wow.
And when the Browns came on the clock and they took Carson Schlesinger, I was like, what? Completely blown away. And then when it comes to the next pick, they take the other Ohio State running back, which I thought was, you know, hilarious in the moment and also an interesting comparison of how they viewed the two backs, because Henderson was the home run hitter. But I think Judkins is more of the pro-built guy. He's rugged. He's made for contact. He's made to handle a large workload that Nick Chubb used to handle in his glory days with the Browns. And I think that that fit's going to be great. I don't want to, you know, go on air anywhere and say that he's going to be Nick Chubb, because that is an incredibly high bar to reach. But I do think he's going to be a productive running back if they can block it up well, because that's where it always starts. So I think Browns fans will be pleased with that selection. And I think that the Browns also did a good job by taking two running backs with the idea that, yes, Judkins is going to be our lead back, our bell cow, but we also have somebody to spell him consistently with Samson. I think that the approach will be better than what they've done, because in the last few years, it's been Chubb and pick some guy off the street behind him. And no disrespect to Jerome Ford, I'm not including him in that group, but it's been, you know, Pierre Strong or a number of other backs that they just decide to throw in there. And it's been a revolving door. I think this is their attempt to stabilize the position group. And I think that Browns fans will be happy with the results.
That other guy is Dylan Sampson. I loved his tape. He's not as big as Judkins. Runs, I think, is hard, Nick. Runs between the tackles, which I think is really interesting. Is there any chance that Samson ends up being a guy who actually splits carries with Judkins, and you have a 1-2 punch that's as 1-2 as Montgomery and Gibbs in Detroit, or, you know, think of any great 1-2 combinations you've had? Or is it going to be one guy is the lead guy and then the other guy helps?
I can see them definitely splitting carries. I think that was part of the logic that went into drafting both of them. And I also think that that just makes your offense stronger overall. It's not going to quite be a Gibbs-Montgomery situation, because Gibbs is a three-down, silky, smooth, agile, explosive back, whereas Montgomery is the hammer there. Judkins isn't quite a Gibbs. But I do think that the balance between two guys is always going to be more beneficial to your offense than leaning too heavily on one guy. And I think the Browns learned that lesson a couple of years ago when Nick Chubb had that knee injury in week two. And they were left to scramble to try to figure out how to replace him. So this is good planning on their part. I would not be surprised at all if they end up splitting carries or they ride the hot hand, because that's, save for a handful of stars at running back this you know, in this era of football, that's what most backfields are. They're committee backfields, and their strength is in numbers, and the Browns would be happy to have a strength in numbers.
All right, you brought it up earlier in this conversation. What are the Steelers? What are they?
They are a team that has suddenly got very old offensively, at least among, you know, some of their top contributors. They're a team that has spent the entire offseason acting as if they're listening to every complaint from their fans, who, by the way, privileged fans. Let's not get that out, you know, let's not leave that aside here. They watch Mike Tomlin consistently coach teams that don't deserve to be in the playoffs to the playoffs, and then lose in the playoffs, and they're upset that they didn't win in the playoffs, when in reality they probably shouldn't have been there to begin with. But all of that impatience, the lack of a playoff win since 2016, which they have to still accept the fact that the Browns have won a playoff game more recently than they have, and by the way, they beat the Steelers to do so, all of that is building up. And I think that that directly motivated how they approached this entire offseason. The whole wait for Aaron Rodgers was very weird, because it was so prolonged and hush-hush, and there was things like Mike Tomlin saying there's no drop-dead date and things like that. But it's all behind us now. We know what their offense is going to look like. And what it's going to look like is Aaron Rodgers dropping back behind an offensive line that's much improved compared to where it was 2 years ago. A running back room that I think has a lack of an identity right now, because they got rid of Najee Harris and they replaced him with the kid from Iowa, and they still have Jaylen Warren. But most importantly, they have DK Metcalf out wide. And they believe that they have upgraded their offense overall from where they were a year ago. I'm not one to necessarily subscribe to that notion entirely right now, because on paper, it kind of feels like you swapped one guy for the other and maybe didn't get any better. But it really comes down to what Arthur Smith likes to do. If you look at their tight end room, it is incredibly crowded, like to the point where somebody's going to get traded or lose their job after they acquired Jonnu Smith in that trade with Miami, which, by the way, signals, again, their intent to win now by getting Jalen Ramsey, who, you know, may or may not be at the point of his career where he's transitioning to safety. So this is a Steelers team that is all in on 2025. I know Mike Tomlin got a contract extension, but they are probably just as tired of not experiencing playoff success as their fans are, and that's their sole goal. Is that going to happen? I don't know. Because Aaron Rodgers could be the quarterback he was down the back half of last season, which was pretty good, even though people weren't paying attention to him. Or they could be a dysfunctional mess, and that's where the intrigue lies, is watching the Steelers and seeing whether it's going to be, you know, a successful race or a massive car crash.
Nick Shook joining us, NFL.com. All right, there are the Steelers. T. Higgins back in Cincinnati. Ja'Marr Chase, rich in Cincinnati. Big contract extensions, both guys. Joe Burrow, happy. Is he happy with his offensive line? And, yeah, you know, I wonder about that. I think Burrow is good for football. I don't like that he's in our division, but I think he's good for football. Can they protect him there, Nick?
Yeah, he's super marketable. Like, the clips that have come from the quarterback series on Netflix are just great. But that's the big question. It's been a question for years. You know, Amarius Mims, the guy they drafted last year, was not consistent. They had a guy at right tackle 2 years prior in Hakeem Adeniji, who ended up with the Browns last year, who wasn't a turnstile but wasn't consistent either. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be able to protect him. They have so much money in their weapons and in their quarterback that it's a roster that's just a little strange. And you know, more than protecting Joe Burrow, I'm worried about their defense. You know, Louie Anarumo a few years ago was getting head coaching looks, the former defensive coordinator there, because of how well he'd done with that group. And then personnel just slowly started to trickle out of the building, and it just kept leaving and leaving, and they didn't replace it effectively. And then they cratered defensively last season. They finished in the bottom third of the league in total defense. They lost four games in which they scored 30 or more points, and that was directly because the defense couldn't stop a nosebleed. Most memorably, that loss to Washington early in the season. And it hampered them. It prevented them from making the playoffs when they tried to get hot late in the season. They're also a team that starts slow. So if you start slow, you've got too much money in your weapons, you may or may not be able to protect your quarterback, and you don't know what you're going to get from your defense. What does that mean? That means a rough start and the same pressure that you've experienced in, you know, previous seasons. I think in 5 of 6 seasons with Zach Taylor at coach, they've lost their first 2 games, if not more. They need to be better than that this year. And I think a lot of that is going to be on their defense, where they've invested in traits guys and not guys who have come to the NFL with a lot of collegiate production. Miles Murphy from Clemson being one, and Shamar Stewart, the other one that they selected this year. So they need those guys to produce. They need their draft picks to hit, because all their money is tied up in the offensive weaponry. And the trenches is where I worry the most about them. Can they stop the run? Can they get pressure? Trey Hendrickson is still in a contract dispute. Sam Hubbard retired. And again, like you said, that offensive line, there's a lot of questions. So there's so many things to answer with them. But on paper, when you look at, you know, the positions that the average fan gets excited about, they look strong. It's just, are the bones of this team really that resilient, or is it going to be kind of a facade? That's what we have to figure out.
Yeah, Nick, when you talk about Cincinnati, I mean, the defense is what really let them down early on. So then they go out and they bring in Al Golden, and then they took 3 of their first 4 picks, or their first, second, and fourth rounders are all on defense, 2 linebackers, and you talked about Shamar Stewart. How much better is their defense going to be, and could their defense once again hold them back for another season?
Well, I think it's putting a lot on young guys, because most of those picks are going to be expected to play or at least see heavy reps in rotation. And while I said that that's a good thing for teams like the Browns don't enter 2025 with expectations of making the playoffs. The Bengals do.
Right.
Zach Taylor's seat is warm because of how they've struggled in the last few years. Really, ever since they reached the Super Bowl, you know, they lose that AFC Championship game, they miss the playoffs.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They got to get back on track. So it's a big question with them. And honestly, you know, for as well as they've done at receiver with Higgins and Chase, and obviously Burrow was an easy pick that everyone was going to make. Defensively, a lot of the picks that they've made over the last few years haven't really paid off. I think about Dax Hill. I think about the cornerback from Michigan, DJ. And I think about, Cam Taylor-Britt, who likes to talk a lot and also gets toasted every once in a while and then makes a big play every once in a while. And the guys that I mentioned before. And there's just so much uncertainty that those guys need to produce in order to really bring this thing together. And I think that's going to be the area of concern throughout at least the first half of the season is this defense going to be better with the new coordinator who comes with a ton of experience in Al Golden? But it's not a team that, like, if I had to put my life on the line, I'm not putting my life on the line for the Cincinnati Bengals just because I don't know exactly what they're going to be. But if everything works out, they should be in contention.
Nick, I have 30 seconds. How much better are the Ravens than everybody else in the North?
Oh, God, at least 3 wins, I think. Their offense is incredibly explosive. I think they did a good job in this defense. Malachi Starks and Kyle Hamilton are going to be a great safety pairing. And then they, by the way, went and got Jaire Alexander. They always seem to do that kind of thing. And that filled out their secondary. They're going to be good. They're going to be good again. They're going to be the cream of the AFC North crop.
Nick, you are the man. Thank you, of course, for reading you NFL.com. Check out all of the AFC North previews that he's got there and does a fantastic job throughout the season. And maybe if you follow him on Twitter too, you can see he'll chime in about the Indians or something like that, or the Cavs, right? We got you.
I don't know. I mean, it's been a rough baseball season, so we'll see. But yeah, Cavs, definitely.
All right, Nick, thank you. We appreciate you. Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Nick.
Basically, when you look at the division, it's the Ravens are expected to win it. The Bengals are expected to contend for it. Nobody knows what the Steelers are going to be, and everybody expects the Browns to finish in last place, which is obviously not the news you want to hear in early to mid-July, but it is the reality that the Browns face right now, which sets up for one of two things. Either they meet those low expectations, or they surprise a lot of people and contend, and we'll see how it unfolds.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. That was Nick Shook from NFL.com. He was on with us last segment. If you missed any of the interview, as we kind of preview the AFC North with him, as he did on NFL.com, you can always listen to that on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts on the Baskin and Phelps podcast. Also, earlier today, Joel Corey, and a former NFL agent from CBS Sports, we talked to him about a ton of stuff going on with the NFL, in particular, the whole guaranteed contract situation and the firestorm that we're kind of in with that right now. And it kind of started right here in Cleveland, as we know, with Deshaun Watson's guaranteed contract to start things off. What Nick said about the AFC North, Jeff, your thoughts on that?
I think he nailed it going into things. I think that's exactly the way everybody's thinking about it. And it's pretty clear the way it's stacked. Ravens on top, Bengals chance to compete, Steelers unknown, Browns at the bottom. We also know that very rarely does a division go exactly as people think it's going to go. So I would think if there's any team that has a chance to jump up and win the division, it's Cincinnati. And if the Steelers are a dark horse, Aaron Rodgers wasn't Green Bay Aaron Rodgers last year. He was older. He was coming off an Achilles injury. He still didn't stink. His team might have, but he didn't. I wonder what he's going to do in Pittsburgh. I wonder if he's going to get along with his offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith. He's excited about DK Metcalf. They should have a good running game. And I keep wondering, are the Browns going to be as bad as people think they are? And maybe it's just my optimism going into any season for any of our teams, but I think they have a chance to be better than people think. But boy, they're going to have to find somebody who's competent at quarterback. One of these guys is going to have to step up. You know who I'm really intrigued about, and I shouldn't be, but I am, because I personally have always loved his game. I wonder if DeAndre Hopkins has anything left in Baltimore for Lamar Jackson. When Hopkins was in Houston, he was just phenomenal. And remember, when he came in, he was a young guy along with Andre Johnson in Houston at the time. And then he took over and became the man and just had phenomenal seasons and stacked them on top of each other. And then by the time he hit Arizona, he was getting dinged up and he wasn't as good. And Tennessee. And then I thought, boy, Kansas City's going to be a great spot for him. And he was okay there. I wonder if he has anything left. I don't know that he does. But at least anything like what he used to be left. If he were on our team, he'd be your number 1A receiver right now.
Yeah.
You know, along with Jerry Jeudy. And I was hoping the Browns might go get him. But I think he obviously is Hall of Fame talent. Does he have anything left? And I don't know if he does. He's 33. And if he does, add him to the mix in Baltimore with Derrick Henry. I mean, think about it. They have Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, and DeAndre Hopkins. Big picture NFL, that's a trio right there, man. Those three Hall of Famers. But does Henry still have anything left? Yeah, I really think he does. Does Hopkins? We'll find out. And if he does, to go with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, oh my goodness gracious.
I think the big question mark still in the AFC, and when you look at it beyond the Browns, it's the Bengals. And I still wonder about what their defense is going to look like this year. We talked to Nick about, you know, how they kind of regrouped and that, you know, their first round, second round, and fourth round pick were all defensive, two linebackers and defensive end, who's really good. But, you know, the Bengals and the Browns were kind of even there for until the last couple weeks of the season, where the Bengals went on and they won their last five and the Browns lost their last six, and the Browns couldn't put any points on the board. And it was kind of like, okay, we know where this is going with the Browns, and they're probably going to get a better draft pick if they keep losing. And I'm not saying the players that went out on the field wanted to lose, but obviously things were really looking towards, you know, this season that's coming up. As the difference, though, was in Cincinnati, they didn't seem to let that affect them when they were, what, 4-8 at one point during the season last year. Yeah, 4-8. That makes sense. And so, they end up the year 9-8. I just, you know, they bring in Al Golden to be the defensive coordinator, and then you got some of these young guys.
Al sent me a thank you note once.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
What, from?
Mac Media Day.
Really?
Yeah.
That was very nice of him.
I was stunned.
I can't believe you missed the ding on that, too. That was a straight out, hey, look at me. I got a great compliment.
Al Total Golden. Pro. Al Golden was doing some really interesting things trying to sell his program. He was at Temple at the time.
Mm-hmm. And so I look at Cincinnati, and while all that pressure is there to win now with Joe Burrow and the fact they were able to come up with 9 wins, I just, you know, their wide receiving corps is so good. But do they fall on the same track that they had last year, depending on what happens to them in the beginning of the season with trying to make the defense sing? They can't fall in the hole that they did last year and expect to make the playoffs, but they almost did. Right.
Chucky
right
had there. A comment, a note in his thing about the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow in weeks 1 and 2 of the NFL season has a record of 1-9.
How many times have they played us?
I don't know.
In those week 1, 2.
Isn't that weird, though? Imagine if the Bengals get off to a good start.
And that's what I'm saying, especially about the defense. So you're right. So, yeah, when
their offense could be just fun, man. T. Higgins, terrific receiver. They brought him back. Ja'Marr Chase, as good as you get. And I like Burrow, man. I think Burrow's really good. They better
protect him. He's still struggled against us. He's like 3-5 lifetime against the Browns. So
they better protect him. Hmm. I hate to see great players just get the snot beat out of them. I think he's a great player.
Mason's in Akron. Hi, Mason. How are you?
Mason,
are you there? Don't get jarred up.
Bye, Mason.
You there, Mason? Ah, we gave you a shot. Take care, Mason. Have a good weekend. You know, along the lines of the rest of the AFC North, I also thought that what he said at the end, that Nick Shook said at the end, I mean, are they 3 games better than all the rest of the AFC North? Are the Ravens 3 games better than the rest?
Right now, if you look at it, I would think, yeah. I would think you just might be. At the very least, 2. And it doesn't sound like much, but think about it. 3 games is a lot. You know, if you got a 3-game lead in the NFL, that's a lot of wins.
It's like a 15-game lead in Major League Baseball.
Well, it's serious.
Feels like it, at least.
I do think the Ravens are the team to beat. That's nobody going out on a limb there. But I think Cincinnati's capable. Pittsburgh is a curiosity. And the Browns
are an enigma.
Fingers crossed, surprise. Unfortunately, that's where you are. You have to cross your fingers and think that they can surprise teams in the AFC North. And how are they going to do that? Competent quarterback play, but most importantly, you get that defense back to where it was 2 years ago. I think it's that more than anything, Andy. Because take a look at the offense. I can't imagine this offense being really good. I just can't. You don't know who your quarterback is. You don't know who your wide receivers are past Jerry Jeudy.
Right.
You're not sure who your starting running backs are. You can assume it's Judkins, but, okay, he's never played in the NFL. Your offensive line is good, but has had some injury issues. Your defense is going to have to carry this team this year. Again. And that's okay. You can win a lot of games in the NFL with the defense carrying you.
I want to see what our offensive line looks like, because last year just seemed like it was a complete mess. I don't think it was because of the players. It might have been partially because of the coaching and the coaching change.
Yeah, that's a valid point.
And I normally don't do that, but there was definitely a philosophical change to last year when Andy Dickerson was here, and it didn't go the way it should have.
Didn't work.
And so now we'll see what happens this season. I hope the offensive line gets back to what it was, you know, just even 2 years ago, if they can get close to that. A couple things. Obviously, there's a gigantic movie that surrounds us here in Northeast Ohio. I want to talk about that. Also, there's an odd event, speaking of Northeast Ohio, over the weekend that has a huge tie to what's going on here, especially if you're a longtime Cleveland sports fan. What am I talking about? You'll find out next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.